So this morning we turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. As I promised last week, we would kind of pick up where we left off. Last week we read verses 1 through 5, and today we're going to read verses 6 through 9 of the Gospel of Luke. New Testament, third book. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Just these four short verses, verses 6 through 9. Says this, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we reflect on not only your scripture text here in front of us, but of the events that are happening in our world here over the last days and weeks. Father, we want to mold the two of them together and find out how we can better be better Christians in this world. We ask that the scriptures guide us into what that can look like in our own personal lives. Touch us all in the way that we all need touched here this morning to make the changes that we all need to change. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. On November the 13th of 2015, which was just 9 days ago, the world once again witnessed the deadly arm of terrorism. In Paris, France, over 130 people died at the hands of ISIS terrorists. And you know, it's kind of sad to say that we have to live in a world where these extremists have succeeded in doing one thing, and that's instilling fear in many, many, many people. Well, I'm certainly not here today to solve all the world's problems, because I just can't do that. However, I am here today to offer a biblical perspective on how this world just might become a little better place to live. Last week, we focused on those who perished in this tragedy, and we looked at it from their standpoint. And the way we looked at it was this. When they woke up on that morning of November the 13th, they never once thought that day would be the final day of their life. It was totally unexpected. And we compared that, their story, with the two stories that we find in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. One being an assassination, verses 1 through 3, and the other just an accident, verses 4 and 5. Both of these are not normal ways to die. And in both of these stories, death was unexpected. Exactly 52 years ago today, a man by the name of John F. Kennedy never thought once that day would be the final day of his life. That day that he would take his final breath there in Dallas, Texas. And we don't know either, do we, when our day is coming or in what form our final breath may occur. So what do we take from what we learned last week in those first five verses, just kind of as a refresher? Well, Jesus wanted his followers then, and certainly for us now today, to understand this, that one, everyone is a sinner, and that more importantly is that an unrepentant heart is going to perish. Unless a person repents. And by using these two stories and as a backdrop of his lesson, he is also implying that there is a possibility that death for anybody can be unexpected. Death certainly was unexpected for those 130 plus who lost their lives in Paris last week at the hands of those Islam extremists. The questions we need to ask are this: were they spiritually ready? And had they repented? But even more on a closer note would be for us: are we spiritually ready? And have we repented? And all that leads to the parable that Jesus tells here in verses 6 through 9. So let's see how these words of Jesus kind of fit in with the recent terror attacks that have gone on in Paris. So I'll give you a synopsis of the parable. It's very straightforward. We read of a fig tree that's planted in a vineyard. And for 3 years, this fig tree doesn't produce any fruit whatsoever. The owner, the master, he just wants to cut it on down because it's taken up valuable soil. Well, the caregiver, the caretaker, wants to give it one more year. Master, let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it here a little bit. And then we'll see what happens. But let's give it a chance. And if there still is no fruit, then the caregiver will honor the master's wishes. And then the fig tree will be cut down. Well, in its purest form, the exact analogy would be that Jesus is comparing this fig tree to the nation Israel. But what I want to do here today is this. Now, I want to bring it down to an individual level, down to our level, and kind of use a little bit of spiritual liberty here this morning to make this analogy. Let's look at it from this perspective. The fig tree. Let's say the fig tree represents an unbeliever. Somebody that we know, somebody in our family, co-workers, whoever. It could be anybody, any unbeliever. Well, he or she hears the word of God. And the analogy there is they are planted in a vineyard. And maybe this person goes to church. Maybe this person, this unbeliever, lives with a family member that is a believer. And maybe that person has heard the word for 3 years, and that could be any period of time, over and over again, that person hears the word, maybe, again, an unbeliever sitting in a church. So they hear the word maybe from a pastor, a person like myself, maybe from a family member, maybe from a co-worker, maybe from you. But this unbeliever never gets saved. This unbeliever just never repents. This unbeliever just never bears any fruit whatsoever. Jesus tells us this sobering news. I'll give this unbeliever just a little bit longer in the context of the parable. One more year, and we don't know how long a period of time that is. But if nothing happens after this a period of time, I'm going to cut it down. Cut it down? That sounds rather cold, doesn't it? But I believe what Jesus means here is this. I believe there's an hour of grace for people. And I also believe that there comes a time when that hour of grace comes to an end. The offer of a free gift of salvation is taken off the table. The unbeliever's chance at salvation is over because the heart has become calloused and the heart has become hard. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 say that after you've been enlightened by these things, it is impossible to come back. It's a great analogy to what he's teaching us here. And I can't, and you can't, and nobody can. We can't speculate when this indeed happens in the life of an unbeliever. Nobody can do that for sure. But I'm sure it does happen because it's what the Bible says. So if we back up and just give a summary of these first 9 verses. Verses 1 through 5, we have the fact that death may come to anybody's life when we don't expect it. And one needs to repent when one has that opportunity. And I sure hope that each and every one of us in here have done that. But then in verses 6 through 9, we have the fact that, number one, the God that we serve, He's a long-suffering God. And He will give that opportunity. He'll extend that period of grace one more year, or however long that one more year applies to that person, for that soul to repent of his or her sins. But he also says this, number two, hearts may become so hardened that they will never bear fruit, the fruit of repentance. So for the many who survived, let's not talk about those who perished in Paris. Let's talk about those who survived the recent attacks in Paris last week. Is it because, here's a question we need to ask, is it because that a long-suffering God has given them just a little more time to come to repentance? And if so, will they? Have they been given that little extra time to repent? Have we been given that little extra time to repent? Do you know someone in your family, family member, friend, co-worker, that's being given just that little extra time to repent? If so, will they? You know, there's a show on ESPN, which is a sports network. It's called the Cold Hard Facts. If you've ever watched ESPN, they give these cold hard facts. Well, our fill-in-the-blank number one, and our only fill-in-the-blank here in our bulletin, is a cold hard fact. And it says this, failure to produce fruit in keeping with repentance may eventually result in the abandonment of God. God could abandon a person, could abandon a nation, could abandon a group. Absolutely. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus tells his disciples this about the Pharisees. He says, leave them alone. They're blind guides. Abandon them, disciples. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, tells us that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Abandonment. In Romans chapter 1, verses 24, 26, and 28, tells us three times that, 24, God gave them over. 26, God gave them over. 28, God gave them over. He gave them over three times. Abandonment. Each time, He's abandoning them, turning them over to their own desires. And John chapter 12, verse 40, it tells us that some of the Jews were so steeped in their unbelief that God blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts so that they could no longer believe. They were abandoned by God. Well, with all that said, and it sounds like a lot of doom and gloom, I want to look at this from one other perspective. And we'll kind of end this on a positive note. If we are believers, and if we have come to the point of repentance, which I hope all of us have, who are we in this story in verses 6 through 9, and what is our responsibility? Well, if we look at all the different people and situations in the verses 6 through 9, who are we? Who are believers? Who are the Christians? We are the ones who take care of the vineyard. We are the caretakers. Well, in what way? Well, if the fig tree represents an unbeliever, the question is this. Are we concerned enough about that unbeliever to ask God, Lord, will you extend that grace period for this person, this man, this woman, this child, this mother, this father, whoever it may be? Are we concerned enough about the unbelievers in this world that we are willing to take the time to dig around it and fertilize it. Well, what would that mean? In other words, are we concerned enough about the unbelieving world that we take the time to plant the gospel message into that unbeliever? Or water that gospel message into that unbeliever? Are we concerned enough about the unbelieving world that we are willing to pray for their salvation? Now, here comes a real test. Are we willing to pray for the people who committed the crimes in Paris? That is not only tough, but it's also what we're instructed to do. That is tough. We are not the master. We're not the owner of the vineyard. We are not the soil, because that's the person's heart. And we cannot make the fig tree grow, because that is not our job. We can plant and we can water, 1 Corinthians 3. But what we can do, we must do. And what we are able to do, in whichever way God has equipped us to do that. And all those things say this: we are commanded to do these things. We are commanded to dig around that fruitless tree. We are commanded to throw some fertilizer around that fruitless tree. Even if that fruitless tree is our coworker, who we get along with just fine, even though they don't believe the same things we do, or if it's an ISIS terrorist who somewhere in our heart we have to have probably at one point in time have said, we hate those people. What does Jesus say? What are we supposed to do with our enemies? We're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Oh, gee. Wow. They just blew up 130 people over in Paris. They just flew airplanes into the Twin Towers. And I'm supposed to pray for these people? Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think you get to the heart of Christianity when you get to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is this: that yes, somewhere in my Christian walk, somehow, I still need to love them people. Somewhere in my Christian walk, I still need to pray for those people. And somehow I still need to dig around them, and I need to put fertilizer on them and somehow plant the gospel message. Not because it's a good thing to do. It's because it's what I'm told to do. So in light of the recent situation in Paris, and with all the other evil things that are happening in our world, and we all know what they are, I have to believe this. I believe when people see tragedies like this, 9/11, what just happened in Paris, I believe at that point in time, there's many more unbelievers in this world that are ripe for the harvest. I believe they are at the point where they are searching for some kind of meaning or some kind of spiritual something in their lives that's far beyond what they already know. Boy, now's a really good time to be out there and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Does it prevent those things from happening to us? No. But we should feel blessed that we have the opportunity to pray and to do things for people who don't know Christ. Because I believe there's a good chance that every one of us sitting in here who say that we're believers, somebody did that for us. I still remember when I met Gail and I got to meet her mother, Eunice. And right after I got saved, Eunice said, "You know, Mike, I prayed for you every day." An unbeliever is an unbeliever. No matter if I was married to her daughter or if I'm an ISIS, Islam, extreme terrorist. There's a world that needs saved. So I say this. I say that somehow we put on our shoes of evangelism and we share the good news of Jesus Christ with an unbelieving world. However, God has equipped you to do that. And how He's equipped me and equipped you might be many, many different ways, and that's okay. My friends, we can't afraid to dig around the people that we hate. And we can't be afraid to fertilize around the people, especially those that we might hate. Let's pray that all the fig trees in our lives that we encounter in our Christian walk, they start bearing fruit. Sure, we might have done the planting, we might have done the watering, but there's no boasting in Christianity because there's only one who makes it all grow. Amen? And that's God. If we do our part, let's just stay back and watch Him do His. Let's pray.